Welcome. We invite you to enjoy this Word Alive message with Pastor Edwin E. Ford of Crossroads for Life Ministries, a voice in the next move of God. We know you'll be blessed by this spoken word of God as we tune into today's message.
I want to begin reading tonight from verse number 3. And now it came to pass in the 4th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month. Those who don't understand the Jewish calendar, that was January 1st. That was January 1st. He says, I'm going to say that again. Now he says, it came to pass January 1st that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them. After he killed Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who dwelt at Astaroth in Edrei, on this side of Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law, saying, I'm going to say that again. Moses began to explain this law. This is not a preposition or a proposition. This is a law, saying, the Lord our God spoke to us before in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains, and in the lowland, in the south, on the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites, Canaan land, and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Crossroad, go in and possess the land. I'm talking to y'all on January 1st. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. And I spoke to you at that time. He said, I told you then, it's already yours. I told you last January that God's ready to exceed your expectations. I told you in June that God is about to restore back to you everything faster than you can ever imagine. I've already told you. Here, like them, he says, the Lord your God, he says, for a time, saying, I alone am not able to bear you. I alone am not able to bear you. Moses said, you're trying to make me your deliverer. Pastor Ford can't bring you into your promise. Because of our lack of obedience, we put the precedent on ministry to make you. God didn't want ministry to make us. He wanted to make us. David said, it's the Lord's doing. And God gonna get all the glory. We are mad at church and we're mad at ministry because ministry didn't make us. But God didn't allow ministry to make us. God said, I'm going to do this. Psalm 127 and 1 said, let the Lord build the house. They that labor. You don't need nobody to cross their hands and pat you on your head and tell you you can do it. You just got to obey God. Okay, let me get, I'm trying to put it all in here. He said, the Lord, the multitude of my, he says, I'm not able to bear you. He says, how? Oh, let me back up. Verse 10. And the Lord God has multiplied you, and the Lord God has multiplied you. And here you are today as the stars of heaven in multitude. May the Lord your God of your fathers make you a thousand times more numerous than you are, and bless you as he has promised. Verse 10 says, the Lord your God has multiplied you. And here you are today without the job, without the car, with all the stuff that you thought you should have. He says, right in your present tape, he said, you are here today as the stars in of heaven in multitude. I want to teach from this text tonight, as long as time will permit, a very simple text. He changed me. I'm going to say that again. Look at him. He changed me. See, y'all stuttering because you don't believe it. He's already changed you. You're waiting for God to do something he's already done. He's not going to multiply you, Shakita. He's already done it. He changed me to make a change. And that's my text tonight. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God changed me so I can make a change. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, I will make a change this year because God has changed me. If you believe that, give God some praise. If you believe God has already blessed you, if you believe that God has already multiplied you, you got to walk this thing out by faith. I'm sorry, baby. You can't wait for the evidence of it. The evidence is right there before you. He's already changed me. But he changed you for this reason, that you might make a change. The year of 2025, the word of the Lord gave him that this is the year of change. This is the year of change. I already told you before we got in, I won't be in this place next year. I don't know what your address is, but you need to get ready. I don't know how long you've been in the position you've been in. You better get ready. See, you got to understand, change is not our idea. The world has convinced us that we make the New Year's resolutions. No, God makes the resolutions. The reason why it ain't been happening because God ain't been making them. We want God to get on board with everything we're doing. How about it this year? We're going to get on board with whatever God's doing. And if God's blessing, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Hallelujah. Somebody believe it. Just act like you got a little faith and says, I believe he changed me to make a change in Jesus' name. You may be seated in the house of God. He changed me. Father God, we thank you today again for your word today, God. Stand up here with your servant. Let me decree, God, what you've already declared to be so. I speak as Moses spoke. But God, I pray that hearts are open and ready to receive and run with this. That I believe that God has already blessed me, that I might be a blessing. Amen. This is simply the order of God. This is the divine order of God. The real struggle, Ms. Joy, we are having in our lives by making a change, you don't understand, you do not initiate change. Though he may empower, but the initiation of change comes from God. That's why we start and stop so much stuff, because you started it. But if you get along with what God has started for you, he who has begun a good work in you. I'm going to say it again. I said, he didn't say you start. He said, he who has begun a good work in you. He will perform everything he started. So wisdom tells me before I start anything, I'm going to seek the Lord. And see what he wants me to do in all my ways. Come on, if I'm going to have a new year, if I'm going to have a better year, in all my ways, I got to acknowledge him. Some of you would have saved a lot of money if you would have got on board with what God has already started in your life. All of the strength and resources you need are in the will of God. Many Christians have been exchanged, but not changed. What do you mean, Pastor? What do you mean? Galatians 2 and 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He says, I've already brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light, but you're saved, but you're the same. Saved, but the same. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you're still mean. You wear a cross around your neck every day, but you still lie all the time. You don't keep no commitment. See, you got a new year, but same you. And a lot of people have been exchanged. They have been brought out. God has put their names on the Lamb's Book of Life, and he has given you eternal life, but you still haven't changed yet. The Bible says some things should never be named among sinners. They're wondering why life is not working out good and why they're not having a good year, because you ain't changed. See, change ain't change until you change. And if God has saved you, why are you the same? Come on now. See, again, change or transition requires change. Somebody say that after me. Transition requires change. In order for us to go to a new place that God has for us, is going to require us to make some modifications. Change is one of the most feared things that human beings encounter. We don't like change. Change is uncomfortable. If we could have still had that TV with the grip pliers to change the station, we would have still had that TV with them three channels. But as uncomfortable as change is necessary. You can't get to where you're going from here. You're going to have to be better before you be blessed. You're going to have to act better before you can do better. Hallelujah. We're wanting some things prematurely before we meet the prerequisite of blessings. We only reap what we sow. Glory to God. We want friends, but we don't want to be friendly. We want money, but we don't want to give. Oh, I've got a quiet church in this Red Lutheran church tonight. Hallelujah. Say to him, he changed me. He changed me. I'm getting to my point before I go. I got to get to this. These are the substratum of my text. See, the greater part of success in the believer's life is knowing how to manage seasons of transition. When you can manage your moments, you can receive your blessing. Poor management is the curse of the believer, not the devil. He told us no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. He said every tongue risen against you. He said, I will condemn it for your sake. We're not suffering loss because the devil is whipping us. We're suffering loss. We don't know how to manage what we got. Bad marriage is a result of poor management. Child abuse is a product of poor management because you didn't train that rascal up the way he should go. And now he's the abnormal use of his life because we didn't manage it. He said, I'll supply all your needs according to your riches and glory. But we buy what we want, what we borrow, what we need. Instead of being content with such things we have, we want to be big ballers and shot callers with a peewee check. Ain't nobody want to get with me on that. You've been working on a job 3 weeks. What you doing getting the bins? See, this is the kind of talk Christians don't want, but we want God to move us and God to change us. But we got to manage our lives better. See, transaction, that word transition, excuse me, transition or change is a twofold word. As I began to study this text, I said, hold up. God, you're asking us to change or to make a move or do something different. He says, understand, no. Change is internal before it's external. Internal change is called transition. Internal change, I'm going to say that again, is called transition. It's psychological. You don't get rich outside until you get rich inside first. It's as a man thinketh. So is it. See, you got to move in your head before you move with your feet. And so when God's talking about, this is my year of change, he said, first thing, I got to change you internally. This is why he tells us in Romans 12, once you get saved, he said, the first thing I need to do is work on your psychological man. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. This happens in your born-again experience. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We don't study the word like we used to study the word. We don't study the Bible anymore. We don't go to Bible study anymore. We get a few words on Sunday. We don't read the Bible anymore. We just look at somebody on TV and we think that's the whole Bible training for our lives. You got to have your mind renewed in the Word of God that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're going to have to do some work in your head. Everybody got a mental health counselor, a psychiatrist. All the saints in therapy. But what happened to the scripture says, he says, I have not given you I know I might be fanatic, pastor, but didn't he tell us, I have not given you the spirit to fear, but a power and love, watch this third one, y'all, and a sound mind. He says when the Holy Spirit is ruling your actions and reactions, he says you ain't going crazy. You see, we want God to be our Savior, but we don't want him to be our Lord. See, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I lift up a standard against him. When that spirit of anxiety attacks you in a room and you feel like everything's about to go crazy, you got to put the word of God and speak the word. Cast down imagination and every high thing that's been exalting itself. When the devil says, you ain't going to be, the devil is a liar. I can do all things through Christ. See, getting up here speaking like this didn't happen overnight. He had to change me before I could make a change. He said, now you clean. Not because of behavioral modification. We think people are straight because they act better. You can act better and not be better. It's called faking it. And we're fools. We hoodwink and beguiled by people because they act better, but they ain't changed. You'll know when you start living with them. Like a lot of Christians do before they get married. I gotta test drive this thing. I don't wanna. What the you sinner talk? to the many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Yeah, I am, and I ain't getting much response. That's all right. We're going to be blowing the kazoos in a minute. Hold up. Transition. He says, transition is not a change. Transition is not a physical change. Just for the sake of changing. You can change your house, you can change your car, but that don't mean you change. You can change your job, you can change the city in which you live in, but that don't mean you change. Transition is moving from one point to another. But when we encounter transition, biblical transition, things will begin to get shaky and unfamiliar. It's when you begin to follow God like you're supposed to, it's going to look like you're going the wrong way. That's why a lot of people retreat, like the children of Israel, say, man, take us back. We were better off in Egypt, in prison. That's how crazy people talk. You what? You thought you had it better off in prison eating leeks and onions? You sound like a foolish. But when God is moving you from one place to another, you're going to be uncomfortable. When God is really, I know how everybody talks nowadays about next leveling you. When God really starts next leveling you, this is one of the most shakiest seasons of your life. He's going to put you in a house that's too big. He's going to give you a job that's going to overwhelm you. He's going to put you around people that's smarter than you. That's God is moving you. He's repositioning you into a place of access. No, you ain't going to dominate in the beginning, but God is changing you so he can change you. He said, I got to put you in the council of wise men. I got to put you around people with influence. And for a while, it's going to be uncomfortable there. You're going to look like you don't supposed to belong there, and you don't, because this is the law. God said it's the time is now, and you're waiting for you to change. God said, no, let me change you. And when I change you, you're gonna have to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm gonna put you in a place that's too big, and you gotta trust me. This is how God, this is why he accelerates the learning curve. He'll put you around people who are better, stronger, and wiser than you and cause you to become them in a day. Because imitation is the first level of learning. He puts you in a place where you can mirror somebody that you're going to be doing their job next week. Y'all not hearing me. God put David in the house of Saul and gave him a Jonathan. He ain't know nothing about being a king. You ain't got to know. God said, just watch him, and I'm going to supernaturally empower you to have his job next week. Somebody say, he's changing me. No, you're not entitled. God is changing you. Yeah, you in something too big. Don't you run back. Don't you quit. Don't you make an excuse for leaving. You better be still and know I'm God. I've got to change your mind before I can change your life. He calls this transition. The world tried to steal the term. And now when you study and look in Webster's, that word transition is not talking about what we're talking about. It's talking about transgenderism. When you hear transition, the world describes when you have an operation to change your external part so it can match your choice. But you can change all the external parts you want. If you ain't a woman when God created you, you can have no parts all you want. You ain't going to be no woman when they cut them off. But the church trying to conform like the world. We want to change everything, those ancillary parts of our life, but your mind ain't changed. And the Bible talks about a pig will always return to his vomit. You can put him with some nails. You can put some high heels on him. You can give him a Jerry curl. But right when you put him on the ground, he running right back to the slough. You changed his body, but you didn't change his heart. Oh, my. Somebody say transition. We're in transition. 2024 was a year of transition. It don't look like you went nowhere, but you traveled a long way in 2024. You went through more hell than you ever thought you would go through in 2024. God was putting you on a fast curve, baby. He was educating you, and he wasn't giving you no expectations. He wasn't telling you what he was doing. He said, catch it. Some things you can be taught, and some things you got to caught. You got to catch the vision. Y'all better hear me. Glory to God. When God puts the vision, you got to catch on quick, baby, because we finna hit the flat top front in 2025. He exposed you to greatness because you're going to look just like what he put before your eyes. And he don't need you to make you. He can anoint you with a gift called learning. And turn you. You better read about Saul. The Bible says he turned him into another man. But the problem with the church is we don't want to stay still long enough. Because if we don't start seeing some external change immediately, we pull our roots up. And we go somewhere else instead of and get refilling the purpose of God. That God said, I'm trying to make you right where you are. God forbid he do you like Joseph. We want Joseph results, but we don't want Joseph process. All of us want to be the king or the prime minister of another country, but you don't want to take Joseph class. So when we see these things, you don't realize God is taking you somewhere without going nowhere. Sister New, did you get that? God is taking you somewhere without going nowhere. How in the world are you going to keep a man in Bethlehem and Nazareth all these years and you're going to change the whole world? I can take you somewhere without us going nowhere. The year of 2025, I got 2 minutes. I want to give you the prophecy of the year. It is the year of the church. It has also been proclaimed the year of the believer. That is, your season has come, but don't be confused by what is happening in our country and what is going on in the world. Listen, is the greatest season of the church. This is the time the scripture says in Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creation is awaiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, or the revealing of the sons of God. The Bible says when gross darkness hits the earth, arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord. Y'all don't want to say. See, y'all was right here fighting and posting on the internet about the election and all of this stuff, like the devil finna take over. The devil is a lie. You understand? That's the stage the church steps out on. When all darkness hits the world, God said, that's the stage. They're going to need a savior. They're going to need a, come on now, they're going to need a savior in a time like this. And we're right here complaining and murmuring. God said, do not follow the pattern of this world. I'm just telling you, I'm closed. I ain't preaching no more. Do not follow the pattern of this world and get caught up with people who are complaining about this situation. When I told you, when these things come, look up, your redemption is drawing nigh. The greatest power that you ever seen the church have is about to be endowed upon the body of Christ. We're going to send to places because they're looking for people of integrity. People of character are coming in demand, and they used to mock the church, but the church will be the deliverer of this world in these last days. Okay, I'm just telling the prophecy. He says the revealing during this time, the cleric stated that praise, and this would bless me when the Lord gave these words. He said, the cleric stated, he said, praise, worship, and gratitude. Crossroads, y'all know what we're talking about. This I did not know this word until this week as I was praying and seeking God. But God said, those things I've been teaching you are the three elements that's going to identify who my people are. Praise, worship, and gratitude. That word, thank you, is going to open more doors for you, David, than you've ever seen in your life. I gave you the Psalm in Psalm 104. He said the password is thank you. Listen, don't be complaining. Just go, whenever you need from God, say thank you. Somebody tonight, before we leave here, you're going to need a healing tonight. And all you're going to say, Lord, thank you for my healing. Somebody tonight going to get a bill paid. And all you're going to do is say, Lord, thank you for paying the bill. Whatever you need from heaven, God said, if you say thank you first, I'm going to release heaven on your life. He says these are going to be the major keys for that. God is warning us again not to be conformed to this world. A successful transitions don't come by happenstance, church. We got to follow the word this year. We got to follow Bible principles that are going to develop us like we've never been developed before. We're not going to walk after the world this year. We're going to follow what thus saith the Lord this year. We're going to do it God's way this year and see God bring us to a whole nother place. Because that struggle that's in our life, God is going to give us the power. Somebody say the power. He's going to give us the power to change. Put up my last scriptures, 2 Peter 1 and 3. Somebody say, I got power to change. What is the power to change, Chris? Whatever situation you're in that you want God to change, he says, I'm going to give you the power. 2 Peter 1 and 3. Verse 3. He says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things, somebody say all things, that pertain to life and he has given us all things that pertain to not your selfish desires. If what you desire is not in God, you can't get it. And the thing about it, everything you want is in God. But you got to obtain it the godly way. It ain't about you putting your foot in the dirt. It ain't about you crushing it. It's about you doing things the way God wants you to do them. You're going to have to get it by faith and not by sight. He says, I have given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory. This is what God is saying real quick right now. Say, to have power to change, number one, you must live the way God wants you to live. This is deep. Listen. If you want to have power to change, the first thing is you got to live right. You can't get out of nothing the enemy got you in if you ain't living right. Plain and simple. You got to love people. You got to do people right. You got to respect. Oh, no, this ain't deep here. This is practical living. He says, my people are asking me to change and give them deliverance, and they won't live right. Okay. Number two, you must live God's way. You can't have a truth that's outside of this Bible. If your truth ain't in this book, it's not truth at all. This is where I feel. This is my truth. Well, your truth ain't going to get you nowhere. If you want to change and get in a position for you to reap this harvest of 2025, you got to live God's way. Number two, you got to do God's will. Number three, you must be ruled by God's Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, Pastor, how you get led by the Spirit? You got to wait, listen for voices? No. No, you listen to the word. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. You can't be led by your friends. You can't be led by backslidden Christians. You got to be led by the Spirit of God or the Word of God. And the Word of God is confirmed out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Not just one little pat scripture you get. You got to get a word. I'm talking about for these flaky Christians. You got to get the Word of God that's established. Last thing, and I'm done. We're going to bring the new year in and sing a song. Hallelujah, old anxiety or something. You must live God's way. You must do God's will. You must be ruled by God's Spirit. And you must have the right relationship with God. The first thing you need to do before you cross over is your relationship right with God. This word tonight is not for everybody who's just happy about it. This word is not all inclusive. You have to have a relationship. What better way to bring in a new year than to bring it in with Jesus? Church, hear me. This year, people mean I'm going to preach the unadulterated whole counsel of God. We're going to walk in love. The day when I was praying today, the spirit of death was over one of the saints in this church, and God said, rebuke it. God said, there's some people who are dying by refusal. I said, Lord, what do you mean by that? They refuse to do what I told them to do. They ain't going to forgive. I'm not going to obey you. And God says, you're praying mercy for them. But God said, after a while, I came home, I'm going to pull my grace back. Because they're dying not because of choice. Or because of situation. They're dying because of choice. There was a coach named Ray Rice. He used to be the defensive coordinator for Seattle one time. I think he was also the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles at one time. Ray was a black coach. And Ray Rice got sick one day. And his daughters rushed him to the hospital. He was telling his daughter, he said, I'm going to be fine. But at the time he was rushing, he was having a stroke while he was telling them that. Well, ended up full-blown stroke, everything. And the doctors told him, he said, Mr. Rice, you got to make some changes. Or, what was the alternative? Or die. He was living his life the way he wanted to live. Wasn't immoral. Wasn't no criminal. He was doing what he wanted to do. And God said, you're going to die if you don't make these changes. So Ray Rice came home and told his family, he told his daughter, I make a decision. I want to live. He said, I'm going to stop working 20 hours every day. I'm going to start taking better care of my body. Because if I don't make no changes, watch me, I'm going to die. I'm not speaking death to nobody, but somebody here that you need to make some changes. Ain't nothing good out of you staying the way you are. The Bible said, the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation. We don't like change, but change is inevitable. Either you make it or life is going to make it. Either you decide to do what God tells you to do or life makes you do. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but somebody you know, God's been dealing with you about making some changes. You know you got to get to another place in your life to get what God has, but you don't want to make the change. And some of you have come so far, you have hardened your heart like the children of Israel When Moses gave this prophecy, they were 11 days away from their miracle. They were 11 days away from it. God was so merciful for 11-day journey. They wandered for 40 years. For 40 years. They physically moved, y'all. Watch now. They physically moved. They situationally moved. But they never psychologically moved. That's why you go in circles. Why you say like you keep going over that, going through the same thing? Because here. What's stopping you from your miracle? Here. You won't change your mind about some things. God is speaking to you today, I'm not going to do it, and you will have an early grave. Because God's going to. See, what happens to a person if they don't change and the season change on you? You'll be left behind. Because God's not going to stop this train because you don't want to move. If you're not there, when he moves, he will leave you behind. And we're going into a new year. But you got, before you talking about go entering into the place of God, are you willing to make a change? Do you have your relationship? Forget about the promotion and all the fanfare. Forget about that. What's your relationship like? Are you allowing God to change you? That's one of the steps I'm going, when I finish part two of this, and I was sharing it today, Brother Grove, step number four. He says daily, if you're going to make this change, you got to pray a prayer of consecration daily. Every day of your life, you should be praying the prayer of consecration. Pastor, what is the prayer of consecration? It's the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26. Every day, before you get up, you need to get your soul up and say, Lord, not my will. You want some success? If you want to see your life transition, is it your will or God's will? Was it your will to tell your boss off or God's will? Because sometimes God will make you hold your peace, even when you're right. Most people die prematurely because they can't wait. The highway patrol gave me this one here. They said most accidents happen when people got the right of way. What do you mean? Have you ever been at a green light when your light turned green? And you wait about 2 or 3 seconds and a car just shoot across? Though you had the right of way, it wasn't the right way. And sometimes God will have you wait, even though you got the right. But God said there's something that you can be dead right. Wait on the Lord. It's not that you, this is not your season, but it ain't your time yet. And there's some things that are coming through this intersection that'll take you out, and you got to wait. And God will hold you in a place. But when you are already resolved, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm talking to my preachers today who God has called you and we're upset and frustrated. But if you are consecrated, you won't miss nothing in God. Do you understand? God's will is greater than anything the devil can put in. When it's your time, ain't a devil in hell can stop you. Ain't no church can stop you. A man's gift will make room. But if God has not released you, you better be praising him. Because there's something deadly in your intersection. And this day when a lot of people get hurt, they try to move before God releases them. And they get taken out. Not physically, but spiritually. And they got this word called church hurt. We talked about it Sunday. It's doing the right thing in the wrong place. Eddie Long wrote that book. Most dangerous place is succeeding at the wrong thing. That's a deadly place. Stand to your feet. Get your horns out. We're gonna holler New Year. I knew I told you I was gonna finish the message. Hallelujah. I sure wanted to preach it, but I had a little resistance. Hallelujah. He changed me. How many gonna let God change you this year? God said, just let me have my way with you this year. Father, I commit myself unto you. Sure, I want it, but God, not my will. Son, if you catch that, you'll go a long way.
Thank you for listening to this powerful message of Jesus Christ. Please join us for one of our life-changing services. Service times are Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Thursday night Bible study begins at 7 p.m. For more information on this ministry, log on to crossroadsforlife.com. And as always, remember, choose life.